The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. What comes to mind when you think about prayer?
Prayer just takes me from where I am to where I need to be. I'm in stress, I need to get into His presence. You know, I've got anxiety, I need to get His joy. And so prayer is just a vehicle that takes me into the presence of God. And it's in the presence of God changes things, not prayer. It's not the power of prayer, it's the power of God.
Chad Veach demystifies the concept of prayer next on Life Today.
Welcome to Life Today. I'm Randy Robinson. Tammy Trent is with me.
Hello.
And Tammy, have you been here when Chad Veach was on before?
No, I haven't. So what?
You are going to love him.
Am
this,
I?
This is going to be
okay,
fun.
Good.
Chad Veach is back with us. He's the lead pastor of Zoe Church out in Los Angeles. He has a new book called Worried About Everything Because I Pray About Nothing. Well, I think we can relate, Chad. Good to see you again, man.
Oh, it's so great to be back, and it's so great to meet you. Thank you so much,
Chad,
for having me on.
How are you doing? How's Los Angeles?
We're doing good. You know, I have four kids, 11, 9, 7, 5. My running joke to my wife is I think we had two too many, but I'm kidding.
Which two, they want to know, right?
Yeah, name them. We're having a lot of fun in Los Angeles, and God is so good to us. We just bought our first building for our church, so we're renovating that, and we're having good days.
Has that upped your prayer life? I know COVID did.
Yeah. COVID helped my prayer life like you couldn't imagine. I learned how to do prayer walks and prayer talks, and it's actually a lot of the book was birthed out of that time and that season. And you know, when you're faced with crisis, you're faced with major stress, anxiety, issues in life. You know, you could turn to the flesh or you could turn to the spirit. You could turn to things that are going to really hurt you in the end, or you can turn to the thing that will help you. I love the psalm of Psalm 121. I lift my eyes to the mountains. Where is my help going to come from? Yeah. My help comes from the maker of heaven and earth. So I learned in that time, I've always been a Bible reader. I really enjoy daily Bible reading. When I was 19, a guy taught me how to read the Bible, and I've kind of made that my morning practice. But I really felt like in COVID, I felt like God spoke to me and said, you're going to also need to pray. Reading the Bible is great. There's so much life, instruction, wisdom, knowledge, understanding, but you're also going to need to activate your prayer life. So it caused me to get on my knees and pray.
Did you always know how to pray, or was this a time where like, teach me, God, how to pray better? Because I think there's so many people that feel like, I don't know how to pray.
Right. I really, started to go back to prayer templates, prayer models, things I did. I was telling a story the other day when I was a senior in high school. On Wednesdays, we had late start. And so we didn't start till like 10 a.m. And I would meet my youth pastor with some of my friends, and we would go to our church early in the morning, and we would pray with our youth pastor. And so I learned how to pray when I was a young person in high school. I remember when I was in Bible college, I had this mentor that taught me how to pray. So I started going back to the Lord's Prayer, and going back to these prayer models, acts, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, then supplication. And I started going back to these prayer models and using them because I think a lot of people want to pray.
Yes.
They don't know how to pray.
Right.
Think about this. Jesus, raising the dead, walking on water, feeding 5,000. I mean, just the miracles, the water into wine. The only thing that the disciples asked him, can you show us how to do that? Was prayer. They marveled at his prayer life, and they said, show us how to do that. So I think if the disciples can ask God for help, we can ask God for help. Teach me how to pray.
I think maybe they asked that because they realized that's the key.
It's the key.
Yeah.
Why is he always slipping away into the wilderness to do this one thing? And then whenever he comes back, what does he always say? I got to keep going. I got purpose. For this purpose I've come. Mm-hmm. So purpose is found in his presence. Mm-hmm. Prayer just takes me from where I am to where I need to be. I'm in stress, I need to get into his presence.
Amen.
I've got anxiety, I need to get his joy.
Amen.
And so prayer is just a vehicle that takes me into the presence of God. And it's in the presence of God changes things, not prayer. it's not the power of prayer, it's the power of God. Mm. So I've just really learned, man, I gotta get in that car and I gotta get with Jesus.
Mm. Is there a right and wrong way to pray?
Well, yeah, I think, you know, one of the chapters I wrote in the book was, you know, stop asking God for things He's already said no to. You know, we pray until we get a no.
Yes.
And in the scriptures, God says no.
Yeah.
His own son, Jesus, is in the Garden of Gethsemane. He goes, I don't want to do this. Mm. And God's like, no, you're going to do this. Three times Paul pleads with the Lord, take this away from me. God's like, no, my grace is sufficient. Mm. My power works best in weakness. And so I think, you know, if we're, how about this verse? He says, you know, husbands, if you're cruel to your wife, stop praying. Like, God blocks the prayer of the one that is mean and cruel to his spouse. Mm. So I think there's scriptures that teach us how to pray correctly and ultimately how to pray the will of God over our lives.
Mm. A lot of times I think it's the simple of, like anything, it's practice, practice,
that's
talking
it.
To Jesus in relationship. You don't have to have the biggest words. Like, my mom is a prayer warrior.
Right.
She has all the big words.
She knows how to do it.
She has a straight line to Jesus.
Yeah, yeah,
you know,
yeah,
I go
yeah.
to her for prayer, but I want to grow.
Yeah.
In my prayer
yeah.
life, what would you say to me, Pastor Chad?
Well, I always think the most powerful prayers are the most simple prayers.
Mm.
So if you don't know how to pray, I think you should start with saying the name Jesus.
Oh, that's good.
You know, I try to encourage people, if you don't know how to pray, welcome to the club. We're all learning. Prayer is communication.
Mm-hmm.
Prayer is relationship.
Yes.
It's not about a religious, you know, you got to say this, that, and the other. And if you don't say it exactly in the enunciation and the phraseology,
right.
God's not going to hear
right,
it.
Right,
right.
No, God knows, Jesus goes, God knows what you need even before you ask.
Mm-hmm.
So you're never informing God. We're never praying and God's going, are you serious? This is... Well, let me do something about it. He already knows. The point of prayer is not to get God on our agenda. Mm-hmm. The point of prayer is for us to get on His mm-hmm. and start to trust and to surrender and look to and understand. I think when Jesus says, pray every day, give us our bread, our daily bread.
Right.
There is a surrender and a dependence that God wants us to live on.
Mm.
It's not weekly bread, it's daily. Mm. Daily today, you are my source of strength. Mm-hmm. You are my peace. Mm-hmm. You're my wisdom. So I'm going to you as the fountain of life because I know out, apart from you, I can't do anything good.
Right.
And so we just got to start speaking to Him, connecting with Him, talking to Him. God knows your heart,
right.
even above your words.
And does prayer start with faith?
It does. You know, I think, you know, He says, when you start with prayer, pray this way. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. So what is He teaching us there? It's always about praise before petition.
Mm.
We declare who God is before we ask Him for anything.
Mm.
So I think it does start with going like, you're a good Father.
Yes.
You're for me.
Yes.
You're with me. You love me.
Yes.
Thank you that you've got a plan for my life.
Mm.
Thank you that no weapon formed against me is going to prosper.
Amen. Yes.
I think it's just, you know, I heard someone say, the most important thought you will ever have in the history of your life is the first thought that comes to mind when you think about God. Because if you think about God as angry,
mm-hmm.
upset, judgmental, disappointed, I think some people look at God like He's that crazy uncle from Home Alone. Look what you did, you little jerk. That's not God. God is a good Father.
Oh, my goodness.
And so when I come to God, I
yes.
talk to Him like He's on my
yes,
team.
Yes, yes.
He's on my side. He,
yes.
He knows what's going on. And He can give me the peace that I need in the situation.
This is something that you learn, I think, the hard way in a lot of ways. And a lot of people have seen you on the program, they've read your books, but some people have not heard the story of your daughter that really pushed you into
right.
prayer.
Right.
Just give us a little context, because
yeah.
I think that there's some meaning when you've had to
yeah.
learn this in the fire.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, you know, one of my favorite sayings is, you know, God does His best work when we're in our worst place.
Yeah. Mm.
You know, that psalm that says, He draws near, He's close to the brokenhearted.
Right.
So when you're brokenhearted, yeah. you're gonna see God do His best stuff.
Amen.
It's rare on the mountaintop of success that people turn to God. It's usually in the valley of despair. And I remember being in despair. My daughter, my oldest, Georgia, she was 3 months old. And, you know, for the first 3 months, we kind of noticed some things weren't right. You know who really notices? Grandma. the grandma, something's not right. What do you say about my kid? You know, and a little defensive and scared. But at 3 months, we received a diagnosis for her life that she has a rare brain condition called lissencephaly. Smooth brain is the simple term. So to this day, my daughter's 11. She's never spoken a word. Mm-hmm. She's never rolled over. She's never crawled. She gets all of her feeding through a tube. Mm-hmm. She's done nothing for 11 years. And I've watched my wife serve her faithfully. You know, medicine in the morning, medicine at night, feedings all through the day. And she really, you know, suffers with seizures, has a ton of seizures. And so it's one thing to have a car accident, you know, emergency room. But to have, you know, a situation for 11 years that you're having to take care of somebody that can't take care of themselves in that degree, it teaches you how to pray. It teaches you how to tap into God, to faith.
Absolutely.
And say, Lord, you got to give me strength here. You got to give me patience. You got to give me perspective. You got to give me the ability to persevere. And so we learned how to pray. We learned how to pray for her and teach our boys how to pray for a miracle. We still, as a family, lay hands on her and believe that God could grow this brain. Mm. What's that to God? You know, our brains have folds. Probably, you know, that if we were to look at that, it would, you know, all of our brains, what's that to God? So we try to teach our kids that God can heal our sister, our girl, Georgia. But it's taught, in summary, it's taught us to depend and lean into and trust God through the whole process.
A hard question for you, because there's a couple of interesting juxtapositions here. Number one, what you go through on a daily basis with what you just said about God, you're a good, good father.
Right.
You're holding to one truth, even though it probably doesn't feel like it at times with the daily situation.
Right.
But the thing I want to ask you about is you said stop asking God for things He said no to.
Right. Mm.
So you're still asking.
Yes.
And I would too.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
But how do you know when God said no?
Right. You know, and I hold on to that verse, you know, Jesus says, ask, seek, knock, you know, ask, you receive, seek, you'll find, knock, the door will be open. And I always hold on to that story He says about the lady that keeps knocking on the door.
Right, right.
And that unjust judge comes and goes, just leave me alone.
Yeah.
You know, so, the conclusion we have in our home is we live on a fallen planet. So I don't believe God's like, I'm going to make your daughter sick, and let's see if you'll still worship me. Right. That's not right. God.
It's not a good God.
That's not a good God.
That's right.
Yeah. But we live on a fallen planet.
Right.
You know, the earthquakes, famines, diseases, you know, Cowboys haven't won in years. We're praying for you guys. But, you know, I think that there's a reality here. I know that she's going to be healed, whether it's on this side or on the other side, I don't know. But either way, I'm believing that God will heal my daughter. And we're believing that one day in heaven, we'll walk the streets of gold and we'll sit at the banqueting table and, you know, she'll be healed. She'll be in a perfect, perfect place then. And so we're trusting God, whether it's this side or the other.
Side note, what can you imagine after the care that she has received from you and your wife, what she will say to you someday?
Mm. Yeah, it's unbelievable. She's going to thank my wife a little bit more. My wife is a saint of God.
I think prayer brings us into such a deeper relationship with Jesus.
Yes.
I think sometimes we can pound our fists on the table and, why aren't you doing this? Why aren't you meeting this need, God? Why am I even praying? Is it even real? It's not changing a thing. And I think sometimes for me in those seasons, I have found as I've come to the other side of it that maybe healing didn't happen in a situation this side of heaven, but it did in heaven. But what prayer did for me at that moment is brought me to a place of a different relationship with Jesus.
That's right.
Right? So I think sometimes it doesn't go the way that we hope it did. At least that's what I've experienced this side of heaven. But what prayer did for me, I stopped confessing that it wasn't real.
Yes.
I stopped confessing that don't pray because it's not going to matter. It does matter because what it did was changed me.
That's right. That's right. Prayer changes things, mainly me.
Right.
And one of my favorite sayings about prayer is from D.L. Moody. He said, when I stopped praying, coincidences stopped happening.
Nice.
But when you're praying, it's like, I was just praying for that. Wait, I was just praying for them and they text me. I was just praying for my kid. You just see it all the time. So in life, I think we have to stop looking for evidence of his absence.
Right. That's
so good. Start looking for evidence of his presence. Ooh. It's all around us. That's we just need the faith filter to see that God is at work.
Yes.
And prayer activates that side.
Yes.
Prayer gets us.
Yep.
You know, I'm listening to this great book right now. I'm plugging another person's book, The Power of Positive Thinking.
Yeah.
And the author says, every day when you wake up, before you have breakfast, say this out loud 3 times. This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. He said, every time, confess it with a little bit of a better attitude. I've been doing that in the morning, and it's amazing. Just getting my faith activated, my mind activated. Now I'm looking for God to be on the move in my life,
yes,
as opposed to going, you know, I'm on the freeway and we're late and right, this, that, and the other. I think we got to just start to stir up that belief in God.
One thing, I've got just a couple minutes, but I got to ask you. You say that there is a dangerous prayer.
Yes.
What is that dangerous prayer?
To me, the most dangerous prayer that you could ever pray is a prayer of surrender, of just saying, Lord, let your will be done. Your kingdom come, your will be done. This is a dangerous prayer, because be careful what you ask for, because God just might give it to you.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of people are miserable today because they threw their life at the altar and they took it back.
Ooh.
And they're miserable because they know they made that vow. They made that commitment. The Bible says, make your vows before the Lord and keep them. Mm-hmm. But the thrill, the adventure of a lifetime is to pray this dangerous prayer. Lord, it's all about you. It's not about me. Think about the adventure that Paul was on. Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I that live, but it's Christ that lives through me. And the life that I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who gave himself as a ransom for me. So when you start praying prayers like that, be careful, because God will start to use you. We got so many people that are going, God used me. Excuse me. That's what you asked for.
Yeah.
You asked God to use your truck and for God to use your money and for God to use your home and to God to use your story. And if you pray that dangerous prayer, God will meet you at your prayer. And so I love it. It's a dangerous prayer. I keep praying, Lord, take me wherever you want me to take me. Use me however you see fit. Do whatever you want to do with, like, I got to keep surrendering and keep picking up my cross daily.
Amen.
And God will do the rest.
He does. He does. And you know, when God uses us, it's not like when some people use and abuse us.
Right.
He's working through us.
That's right.
He's going to complete his will. And when we surrender to that dangerous prayer, amazing things happen.
I believe it.
Yeah. There's a lot of amazing things happening right now that we'd like to show you. In fact, I've seen some of them in person. I've seen places where there's great need. And we have said as an organization, and many of you have said, we want to be used by God to bless these people. So go to my backyard with me and go to the mission field with me. And by the way, when you participate in this today, we'd love to send you Chad Veach's book, Worried About Everything, because I pray about nothing, but pray about this. You know, normally we come to you from various parts of the world to show you the outreaches of life. But today I want to come to you from my home state of Texas. In fact, this is right behind my neighborhood where for the last 20 years I've raised a family. All 4 of my children were raised here, and we've enjoyed this area of this creek that flows into this pond. And while this has been a fun place for a family, there's one thing that we would never do. We would never drink this water.
Truth be told, many around the world have no choice but to drink contaminated water that's even worse than the creek near my home. In Cambodia, I met a man named Vaughn who had lost both a child and a grandchild to waterborne illness. I left heartbroken that Vaughn's surviving grandchildren were still drinking the same water that killed their brother. For decades, my parents have led this ministry's fight against unsafe drinking water, and they've inspired many of us to join them. Life Today viewers empowered our team to drill a well in Vaughn's village And now, his entire community has clean, safe drinking water. But the fight is not over. In another part of the world, there is a mother giving her daughter contaminated water, dirty water, because it's the only choice she has. Right now, you and I have a choice of life and death, but it's not a life and death choice for us. It's a life and death choice for her.
You know, we take it for granted that we have clean water in many of the countries in the West, U.S., Canada, Australia, you know, across Europe. We don't really relate to the fact that in some places they're drinking bad water not because they want to, not because they haven't tried to boil it or filter it or catch rainwater. They do all those things. But circumstances, for different reasons across the world, put them in a position where they don't have the choice. Unless somebody like you and me come in and we give them a choice by giving them clean drinking water. And that's the beauty of the Water for Life program. You know, Tammy, you've been different places. Yeah. You've seen these water sources. We run in, we want to go, don't drink that. But right. Well, we leave the next day.
Right.
They don't have a choice. You know, they don't want to drink it either.
Right.
But they have to. And it's detrimental.
It's so heartbreaking when you're there because it's real life for them.
Yeah.
It's real life for them. When we're watching, it's real life for us experiencing this for the first time in these villages with these people and the devastation that bad water brings to these villages, to these, especially babies under five. That's what rips me up the most, just to think that it's affecting them more than anybody, their tiny little bodies. And to think that they're putting that contaminated water into their bodies. And many of these mothers especially have lost their children because of it. And I'm sure the heavy load that they carry, thinking that they're responsible in some way for the death of their children. I can't imagine carrying that kind of burden. And to know that there's something that we could do to help in that situation, I'm so grateful to be a part of a solution in life, in anything in life that will bring any kind of solution to hardship. Here's one right here that we're bringing to you today. This is real life.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's also real death. We can come together and make a difference. Our goal this year is to drill 350 wells in 20 nations. Do you know what it takes to do that as we come together? For $48, we can provide clean water for 10. For $144, we can provide clean water for 30. And for $4,800, we can go into that village and drill an entire well that will last them a lifetime, on an average about 70 years. It's an incredible, easy solution. And together, we can be a part of that today, Randy.
Absolutely. You know what I love? You know, when we go into places like when I went into Vaughn's village, it's heartbreaking when you see the graves. You've seen these graves. I mean, they're short graves because they're children.
Yeah.
And now we get to go back and to a village like that with the well. Mm-hmm. We have the video, we have the pictures, the images of that well in that place where there was once death reigning over them. Now it's life. Mm-hmm. And that's only possible because of viewers just like you. And though we've done it in Vaughn's village and many others, there are so many places where they desperately need clean water right now, today. And that's why Tammy and I come to you, along with the mission partners around the world, and we say, will you do something? Will you give the best gift you can right now? You can go to the phone if you're comfortable with that. You can go online and make a gift. But will you do something? Will you give life to another person today? I pray you will. We can make a difference. It doesn't cost a lot when you break it down. When we come together, we can have a huge impact. Do it now. Give the best gift you can.
Every day, thousands of lives are lost to waterborne disease, and nearly half of those are children under the age of five. Through Mission Water for Life, you can give mothers hope and children a future as we provide clean, life-giving water for thousands of children and their families before it's too late. With your gift today, you can help drill and establish 350 water wells this year. Your gift of $24 will help provide clean water for five children. A gift of $48 will help provide for 10. $72 will provide for 15.
and $144 will help provide life-giving water for 30 people for a lifetime. With your gift of any amount, we'll send you the Life Prayer Journal, complete with customized art, scripture verses, and inspirational quotes from Life Today hosts and co-hosts. You'll find plenty of room to write down prayer requests, answered prayers, and your own personal reflections as you spend time with God. With your gift of $100 or more, please request the Blessed Cutting Board, a beautiful addition to your kitchen and preparation area. This pine wood cutting board is custom engraved with the word blessed as a reminder of the daily provision of God in your life. Finally, please consider a gift of $1,200 to help provide for 250 people or a gift of $4,800 to help sponsor a complete well. And you may request our colorful bronze sculpture, Consider the Birds. Please call, write, or make your gift online.
I hope you are going online or going to the phone. Please make the best gift you can. You will be making a difference. And if you need to take some time and pray about it, please do. And then I hope you'll ask for Chad Veach's book, Worried About Everything Because I Pray About Nothing. And by the way, the phone number that you see is a prayer line as well. If you want someone to pray with you, pick up the phone. We've got wonderful people who will do just that. Chad, I appreciate you being here. Is there anything, just one thing maybe that people would just walked away from this program that they could put into practice?
You know, I was just thinking this, the title of this book, it's really a play on Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Don't worry about anything. Mm. Instead, pray about everything. Mm. And so I'm only worried about what I'm not praying about. Mm. Whatever I'm praying about, I've got peace about. And so I got to pray for my kids and pray for my spouse and pray for my city and pray for my country. Mm. Whatever I pray for, I've got peace about. He said, if you do that, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and guard your mind in Christ Jesus. So listen, you're in the hospital right now. You're going through a hard time. Mm. You turn to God, start praying, and that peace is going to overwhelm you. Amen. The rest of your family going, how are you so calm? You should be freaking out. I turned to God. When I gave my, cast your cares on Him because He cares for you. So let's pray.
So good.
Amen. Oh my goodness. Thanks for being here. We have loved it. You fire me up to shout, this is the day that the Lord has made. Hallelujah. Thank you for being here. Thank you for watching. We'll see you next time on Life Today.
God created the world with a word. And so when He speaks, you can stand on that and it changes you. And it did me.
Recording artist Tasha Layton, tomorrow. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.